What's that in the sky? It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Talk Geekly!
Holy Hogwarts Express, geeks and geekettes. Tom here, the resident Kryptonian, and welcome to Talk Geekly, your weekly stop for video game news, comic book reviews, and of course, so much more. Now, I do want to start off today's episode just talking about what I was doing this past week. I spent all my time on Magic the Gathering Arena on my iPad. That's right, on my iPad. I actually didn't even know that this released already for iOS. I know it's been out for Android for quite some time. Of course, obviously, I was playing on PC way before that, but now having it on my iPad, wow, what a game changer. Like, seriously, I'm sitting in my theater room, I'm sitting upstairs in the living room, and of course, I'm sitting in the bathroom. Being able to play Magic the Gathering Arena wherever I want is awesome, and I highly recommend any of you Magic the Gathering geeks out there, you've got to try it out on your mobile device. And if you don't think that, you know, playing it mobile is good for you, let me tell you, it definitely works. It's on par with the PC version. The only issue I had with it is when I've got more than like 15 creatures on the field, it gets a little clunky at that point. But if you're playing a quick burn deck or something like that, you're not going to run into that problem. You know, that's just, I like to build massive creature decks, overrun decks, army decks. So that's kind of where I've been going, especially this last week, doing some historic ranked. So glad to say I'm getting a little better. I'm only a silver two right now, hoping to continue ranking up. But yeah, that's about it for me for this week. I hope you guys are having fun out there. But of course, let's jump into what we always do at the beginning, and that's that news.
This week in Geek.
So this week, we're doing a little stroll down memory lane. Back in October, we actually talked about the Xbox Series X fridge that Microsoft had given to Snoop. Well, turns out that the mini fridge for the Series X is actually going to be a real thing now. This is not an April Fool's joke, which of course, with April Fool's just having happened, one could think that, but it turns out that Twitter had a poll for basically the best tweets, and it was down to Xbox and Skittles. So Xbox came out and said, come on, you guys help us win this poll, and we're gonna make the mini fridge a real thing. And well, guess what? They ended up winning the poll just barely, 50.5%. to Skittles at 49.5%. And Aaron Greenberg, who is basically the guy who handles all their kind of, you know, marketing and stuff like that, he just said, hey, we'll move forward on our promise to make those Xbox Series X mini fridges. And they went the next day and said, yeah, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is not clickbait. This is going to be a real thing. So I think it's cool. I would love to have an Xbox Series X mini fridge for my theater room. I think it'd be a really cool conversational piece. And it's just got a really cool look to it. I don't know how you guys feel. Please let me know on the Facebook. Let me know on the Instagram what you think about an Xbox Series X mini fridge. And do you think that Sony might follow suit? So touching back to the realm of April Fool's Day, one of probably, for me at least, the worst April Fool's jokes, one that hit home for me, was from Bruce Campbell. On his Twitter, he actually dropped what looks to be a script, a sheet from a script, just a small scene, and just read it to you. Let me tell you what it breaks down to. You've got this: front door opens, a disheveled man steps through the doorway. Strange can't help but notice that the man has a chainsaw where his right hand should be. Oh, yeah, of course, this is a piece of the script for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. It goes on, the disheveled man says, who the hell are you? And then Strange, cautiously, I'm looking for the Darkhold. Disheveled man, never heard of it. Strange, it's an ancient book of magic, a grimoire of darkness and evil. And the disheveled man, does it have a face on the cover? Man, tying in the Evil Dead with Doctor Strange really, really sounds awesome. I love the idea. Why would you tease us like this, Bruce? This is not funny. But you can't forget that Marvel actually had a tie-in with Ash and the Army of Darkness with their Marvel Zombies series just a few years ago. So it might have been dropped on April Fool's Day, but I can't help but feel like there might possibly be some legitimate, you know, backing to this pretend joke. Hopefully that is the reality, and we do get to see for a very short moment Ash show up in the next Doctor Strange film. I think it could be an awesome moment and really expand upon the idea of a multiverse for Marvel Comics and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If you're a fan of Rick and Morty like I am, you'll be stoked to know that the show's coming back June 20th at 11 p.m. Eastern. Now, the trailer did drop this week, and it had quite a bit of stuff going on it. I mean, you've got some weird dolphin shenanigans. You've got robots, giant robots. One, it looked like a Transformer. There was even a moment where they kind of had this Voltron thing going on. But I'm really, really excited for Rick and Morty. It's one of my favorite shows, animated shows that's on television right now. And if you have not had a chance to check out the show, hey, right now, HBO Max, check it out. They've got all the first four seasons, and I can't wait for June 20th. Please let me know what you are probably looking forward to the most in a possible season five beginning or end. I mean, how do you think it's going to start? How do you think it's going to finish? You know, you never really know with Harmon and Roiland exactly where the show's going to go. It's just kind of one of those fantastical romps through sci-fi storytelling. Now, before we move on to that freshly printed goodness, which are our new comics for the week, I just want to remind all the geeks and geekettes out there, don't forget to like us on Facebook, be a part of the conversation, hop on the page, comment on some of the news, some of the videos that we post, because we would really, really appreciate that kind of dialogue. So, without any further ado, it's what you're actually here for. All right, so my first book that I have for you this week is King in Black's Ghost Rider issue number 1, written by Ed Bryson, and we've got art from Juan Figuera. So with this being a one-shot, I kind of went into this not feeling like there was going to be too much going on, nothing too important. And within the world of Ghost Rider, of course, he just recently became the King of Hell, and he's got an ongoing war going on with a character by the name of Lilith. So this issue kind of ties that story into what's going on with King in Black, and we have the Ghost Rider Johnny Blaze showing up on Earth with Mephisto in tow, and we see all these symbiote dragons, and we eventually run into Danny Ketch, who was a former Ghost Rider, who is now going by the name of Death Rider. Really cool character. I hope to see a little bit more of him in the future. But we learn that the demons have started to overflow onto Earth. So not only do you have all these symbiotes, but you've got all these demons who are just all wrecking shop. And the riders, you know, work together to try to slow the advance that's going on. But it's eventually, for me, one of the shocking things is the appearance of Blackheart and actually having Blackheart work with the Ghost Rider, you know, work alongside him. But we eventually get to a point in this book where Johnny Blaze has to make a decision. And that decision is to either A, let Mephisto go back and be the King of Hell, so this way he can deal with Lilith, or he keeps Mephisto on lockdown and tries to deal with Lilith on his own, which honestly I don't think is that good of an idea. But I really like this book. I thought it was, once again, for a one-shot, I thought it was good. It did its job. I am intrigued to see where we go with Mephisto moving forward, because he does end up with a little bit of symbiote that who knows what he might plan on doing with in the future. Next up is Beta Ray Bill issue number 1, written by Daniel Warren Johnson, and it's even got art by Daniel Warren Johnson. Now, of course, a few months back, I did some Beta Ray Bill reading when it came to our throwbacks. So I was very, very excited to jump into this character once again. Because when I did the throwback, I told myself if I ever had a chance to read something new with Beta Ray, I would be doing it. And man, this was awesome. It's not the book you're expecting when you go into it. You're thinking, you know, he's sort of, you know, like an Asgardian. He's going to kick some ass and do all the God of Thunder kind of stuff. But you have a character here who's pretty much broken since he lost Stormbreaker. Now, that was actually destroyed by Thor. Since he no longer has that weapon, he no longer has the ability to transform back into his normal self. And he's basically not as strong as he was. And because of that, he starts to have a lot of self-reflection and thinking within his own mind, especially about how he values himself and how other people value him. Real cool moment in this book is when we have Fing Fang Foom show up. Big green dragon, right? Well, it's actually infected with the symbiote because of Null, of course, and the King in Black. So I think that was a really cool moment there for myself as a comic book fan. All in all, I am very stoked to see where Beta Ray ends up going, because towards the end of the book, he tells Thor, look, this is my issue, man. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't have my powers. I don't know where I fit. So I've got to get out of here. I've got to find Odin, and I have to have him make me a new Stormbreaker so I can return to being myself. I'm stoked for issue two. I really love what Daniel Warren Johnson has going as far as the art. It has that indie look, but it's like really, I would say it's polished. More polished than most indie books. So thumbs up for that. And let's bring on issue number two. Okay, so it was only a matter of time before we jumped right back into some mutant stories, and that's with X-Men issue number 19, written by the awesome Jonathan Hickman, and we've got art from Mahmoud Asrar. Now, we're picking up right where we left off on issue number 18 with the members of the X-Men, X-23, Darwin, and Sync, still being trapped within the vault with the very mysterious children. And what I love about this issue in particular is Jonathan Hickman's way to give you so much history in just like three or four pages. Now, this issue deals with a lot of timey-wimey stuff, and that's how he's able to do it, but it doesn't feel wrong. Like, everything makes sense. You've got the characters basically, since they're in the vault, time moves differently. So they're, you know, 100 years have gone by. And it's just kind of insane to think about and see how they get used by the children. You know, they think they've got the upper hand. X-23 thinks, you know, we got this. And it turns out that they don't really. And now we have the children using them in ways that I don't really want to, you know, spoil it for you. But let's just say that it's definitely going to be an evolutionary leap for the children, and they are certainly going to be something that the X-Men and the entire nation of Krakoa are going to have to keep close eyes on. Now, we do get a moment where, unfortunately, all the members that were trapped in the vault do die. But of course, with them being mutants and their ability to come back to life because of the powers of Krakoa and the Five, we get the characters once again. But there was this connection made between two of them that's no longer there, because when they have that backup, when they come back, they lose, you know, they basically lose some of their memories. Only one of the members still has his memories intact. So I hope to see that we eventually get those characters together again and possibly touch on that love that was budding between the two. I unfortunately am going to have to let you know that this is going to be the last X-Men book for a while. Turns out that the next issue, issue number 20, did get pushed back. And we're not going to see that till sometime around May 26th. Huge bummer for me, because you know I am a massive X-Men fan and I have been loving every minute of this. But I do know that when that book comes out, it'll be right around the time to start really getting, you know, hyped up for the Hellfire Gala, which is going to be Marvel's big event for mutants this summer. So that's definitely something I'm excited for. Just keep giving me more mutant stuff, Marvel. You are firing on all cylinders, and thanks so much to Jonathan Hickman for having started this whole thing. There you have it. Hot news and even hotter comic books. Tom here telling you thank you so much for listening to the episode. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Facebook, and Instagram. And of course, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel where you get to watch animated versions of this very show. And as always, keep it geekly.
What's that in the sky? It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Tom.